BelmontGroup.com. Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lohenkron.
New York Giants quarterback Jackson Dart was a full participant in practice today after missing two games due to a concussion. Dart technically remains in concussion protocol. The Giants will be facing the Patriots on Monday Night Football. Minnesota Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy remains in concussion protocol but was able to be a limited participant in practice today. Indianapolis Colts quarterback Daniel Jones was a limited participant in practice today because of a leg injury. The Dallas Cowboys ruled tackle Tyler Guyton out for tomorrow's game against the Chiefs because of an ankle injury. Chiefs ruled out right guard Trey Smith also because of an ankle injury. The New England Patriots put starting left tackle Will Campbell on injured reserve. College football, Colorado State has hired UConn's Jim Moore as its new head coach. NBA, Anthony Davis of the Mavericks returned to practice today, could return to action on Friday for the game against the Los Angeles Lakers. Davis has missed the last 14 games with a strained left calf.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, a new Democratic coalition unveiled a sweeping rural revitalization agenda aimed at boosting healthcare access, strengthening the farm economy, and expanding broadband in underserved areas. The effort, led by Representatives Kim Schreier of Washington, Jim Costa of California, April McLean Delaney of Maryland, and Josh Riley of New York, also calls for new investment in small and specialty crop producers, trade and farm bill reforms, and ensuring farmers can compete on global markets. Association of Equipment Manufacturers data says U.S. ag tractor sales dropped 19% in October compared to a year earlier, while combine sales fell 27%. AEM Senior Vice President Kurt Blades says this month's decline in sales follows a slight uptick in September sales. The biggest drop in tractor sales was in the four-wheel drive segment, which saw a 56% decline. As the federal government reopens, farmers say the temporary extension of the 2018 Farm Bill offers little relief from rising costs and growing uncertainty. President Trump's signature restored funding for the USDA, but the farm law that underpins crop insurance, conservation programs, and disaster aid is only short-term. Farmers say the shutdown hindered access to loan and assistance, compounding a difficult year marked by heavy rains, drought, and escalating expenses.
For over 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been providing news and information for the most important industry in the world, agriculture. The Ag Information Network gives you worldwide updates from local producers to regional organizations, from major crops like wheat and corn to animal agriculture to specialty crops like apples, almonds, and cherries. We report on stories that mean the most to you. Online at aginfo.net, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism lasting for the next generation. For the last 40 years, the Ag Information Network has been the source of news for farmers and ranchers. Yet we have never seen such an assault on farming and our food supply as we do today. From fuel to fertilizer, farmers are facing unprecedented economic challenges. This is why agriculture news that farmers receive comes from the Ag Information Network, reaching coast to coast. Deep roots in farming and decades of reporting, the Ag Information Network, trusted and transparent journalism for generations.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages moving higher, looking to build on a run of wins on the last day of trading before Thanksgiving. Wall Street staying upbeat on an interest rate cut next month. Shares of Workday are down more than 9% despite the workplace software company beating earnings estimates. And some news from Novo Nordisk. The company has filed for U.S. approval of a higher dose of its Wegovy weight loss injection. Shares of that Danish pharmaceutical company are rising after analysts say Medicare price cuts will have a lesser impact on drug makers than initially feared. The U.S. government negotiating lower prices for 15 high-selling medicines. And mortgage rates moved a bit lower over the past week. The average 30-year fixed rate is down to 6.23, according to Freddie Mac. That is your Fox Business Report. I'm Angelo Bavaro, invested in you.
If a Lenovo computer for your business is on your holiday list, don't shop around. Just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com. You'll find exclusive deals on the PCs you want for your business, like the ThinkPad X9 14 Aura Edition and Yoga 7i 2-in-1. So avoid all that shopping chaos and price comparing, and just go directly to the source, Lenovo.com, where PCs are up to 50% off. That's Lenovo.com.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361.
Hey, it's Alex at Glenn's Repair and Rental. Since fall is here and winter is near, make sure you have the right gear. Here at Glenn's Repair, we've got you covered. Come on in and get yourself a new gas-powered leaf blower and a gas-powered chainsaw. You can also rent a chipper or a log splitter to aid you with those bigger tree projects. We have Honda generators to help you maintain power with those pesky power outages. And don't forget, as times get cold, we have propane for all your refill needs. While supplies last, come on in and get yourself a Honda gas-powered lawnmower, because everyone needs a good Christmas gift here at Glenn's Repair and Rental, 5025 El Camino Real.
Are you prepared? Uncle Ed's Outfitters is offering basic to advanced training. They are licensed CPRA, NRA, USCCA, and offer specialty classes in firearms assembly and maintenance courses. It's good to own a firearm, but it's a perishable skill, and you need to be prepared to use it. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Find us at AtascaderoGunShop.com. Uncle Ed's Outfitters in Atascadero on South El Camino Real in the Oaks Plaza.
Hi, this is Mimi inviting you to come join us at A-Town Diner in Atascadero, where you'll find a comfortable atmosphere and a fresh home-cooked meal. We offer daily specials and have a homemade soup of the day. We offer breakfast and lunch menu all day long, so you can always experience a hearty breakfast and one of our famous Virgil burgers. Our dinner menu starts at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Enjoy a malt or a shake with that meal, or top it off with a good old-fashioned banana split. We look forward to seeing you at A-Town Diner in Atascadero.
If you're not familiar with the term boondoggle, consider the fact our federal government recently underwrote the total cost of a study dealing with Polish bisexual frogs. If that doesn't give you a hint, stand by. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
A while back, the federal government handed out a grant to some researchers to produce a study called The Demography of Happiness. They surveyed quite a few people to find out why some lead happier lives than others. They found, as a rule, that younger people were happier than older people, people with money were happier than those without it, and healthy people were happier than those who were sick. And the cost for all of this was $249,000. $249,000 to find out that it's better to be young, rich, and healthy than old, sick, and poor. I mention this case to remind you that although the economy is sluggish, the federal boondoggle business is booming. A few years ago, a magazine receiving funds from the National Foundation on the Arts published a one-word poem for which it paid the author $500. The word was light, spelled with two extra consonants. Now, that would be hilarious if it weren't for the fact that some Americans go to bed hungry or without jobs, while the federal arbiters of taste hand out frivolous gifts from the public purse. The Food and Drug Administration paid a Buffalo, New York company to conduct a study of why children fall off tricycles. The research engineers drew a profound conclusion. They fall off tricycles because they lose their balance or collide with an object. They also learned that children get longer legs as they get older, thus complicating the business of riding tricycles. Now, the purpose behind this survey was to help the FDA determine if it should issue safety design standards for tricycles. I'm not at all sure the government has any business considering such things, unless someone has proved that a lot of kids are injured riding tricycles, thus constituting a national problem. And no word of such a problem preceded the study. The Smithsonian Institution, which is federally funded, of course, isn't averse to putting in for some exotic boondoggles, too. Not long ago, it sent Congress a shopping list of research projects it wanted to sponsor, including reproductive rhythms of catfish in India, or how fishing boat crews cause conflicts in Yugoslavian peasant towns, and a study of Polish bisexual frogs. Now, some of these studies may serve a larger, more serious purpose, but one can only wonder why private sources and colleges and universities aren't taking these projects on for themselves. The frog study, for example, was intended to test some new methods for distinguishing between one species of animal and another. Now, that may be a legitimate scientific research objective, but is that what we have a federal government for? In recent years, a new cottage industry has sprung up to take advantage of federal boondoggles in the name of science and culture. A small army of bright wordsmiths and scholars will, for a fee, help prospective grantees dream up serious-sounding titles for their projects in order to impress Congress or a federal agency. Grant proposals are chock-full of persuasive salesmanship, stressing the vital nature of the grantee's project. That Congress takes such stuff seriously at all is a measure of how far we've strayed in recent years from the original purposes of federal government. There are a few congressmen who battle the boondoggles, who say, in effect, hey, wait a minute. What business does government have paying for this? What's the benefit to the taxpayers? What we need is a research program that'll tell us how we can get a few hundred more congressmen just like those others. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call Kevin at K Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have San Luis Obispo County Supervisor John Prashan on the show. And I'll tell you why. There has been some weird stuff happening at the Board of Supervisor meetings. It's been kind of contentious. And for those that think, why is it contentious? There's a 3-2 majority. Well, in multiple times lately, Don Ortiz Lake has voted with John Prashan and Heather Moreno. So it's there may be a 3-2 majority with the progressives, but Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson are not always winning. And at times it gets a little bit nasty. So we're going to go over a number of weird things that have happened in the Board of Supervisors. I think you need to listen to the show. We're also going to get into an announced major deficit in the budget for the county that was brought out at the last meeting last Tuesday. So there's going to be a lot in the show, but we are going to start talking a little bit about, there's this push for low-cost housing. There's push for all housing. The state has a mandate. Housing has become unaffordable in California as fees and taxes have run most people out of being able to buy a home and insurance and other reasons. So because of this, the state has mandated a certain amount of housing in the entire county and then in county properties and cities, and everyone is pushing providing housing. Meanwhile, there's also a push to have workforce housing, low income and very low income housing. And Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson are always the leaders, and we need this low income housing. We need workforce housing. We need it. We need it. We need it. But then when it gets down to the vote, I'd say they vote no unless a nonprofit owns a very low housing development. Over and over and over again, I see the two of them fight for it and then say no. And we're gonna talk about a couple different projects that have come forward lately. One of them was the Dana Preserve. It's a massive development in Napomo. John, can you tell people what happened with that? You guys approved it, and then you had to come back and approve it again.
Oh, we did. What happened was we got there was a lawsuit filed after we did approve it. So it was approved on a 3-2 vote. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I was approved.
You're not great. Let me.
Okay.
No, go. Let's try this again. No, I didn't push the button.
Oh, okay. All right. Now the button's picked. Okay. So we approved it on a 3-2 vote. And it was at the time of a little over 1,500 new homes, all kinds of different homes. So it had low income housing. It had it had the ability to workforce housing. It had all kinds of things, families. Everybody could be there. It had a bunch of infrastructure that was going to work really well with the community down there. And two environmental groups, one of them the Native Plant Society, and then there was another one, and they filed a lawsuit after it passed with the county. And the development itself, is pretty exciting. There's a lot going on down there. It's going to do a lot for the community, and it's going to provide housing for young families. And that's kind of my criteria, is that we have a lot of our younger families that are just starting out, and they need a place to live. They need a place to start their family. And this is, one of our biggest problems, because San Luis Obispo County is the fourth highest population of 80-plus-year-olds in the state of California. So we have lots of retired folks, and we have lots of seniors. That's great. We have a lot of programs for them. But we also need to be able to provide housing for people that are just starting out, their careers, their families. And so I supported it. Supervisor Moreno supported it, and Supervisor Ortiz Legg supported it. The lawsuit happened, and what the ramifications of the lawsuit were in the settlement, they actually cut some of the workforce housing and low income housing out of it. So the project is now, I think, 1,200 homes. So there's 300 families that won't have a place to live or to buy and to live and start their families. And to me, that's the tragedy overall. Now, it's happened, not just there. Now, the cities, we have 7 cities in San Luis Obispo County, and they all have the state comes out and they call them RENA numbers, and they tell you how many different, houses you need to build and places for people to stay. And so, and the cities are doing a pretty good job. Paso's got some houses coming online. San Luis Obispo, the San Luis Ranch down there, those all counted towards their numbers. So they built a number of things there. So everybody's kind of working on this. Now, going back, you remember probably 6 years ago, we had something called the Inclusionary Housing Fee. And the inclusionary housing fee was, I called it a new house tax, which was raising the price of a house because they were forcing developers to pay a fee so that the nonprofit builders in the county could build additional housing. And to me, it raised the price of houses, and everything raises the price of houses.
And for homeowners.
Yes.
Remember, one of the important things to notice here, nonprofits, they don't pay tax.
Right.
So when you build a property and you have to have infrastructure and you have to have police departments and everything else. They don't bring anything to the table, and they actually make it more expensive for a single family person, a regular person, to buy a house, because you're covering the fact that they're not paying their part.
And they're also, what they're doing is that they're using the money that was coming from a home builder. Let's just say you wanted to build, and at the time it was anything over 1,800 square feet or 2,200 square feet. We had raised it. It was started out at 900. So anything over 900 square feet, you paid a fee that went into this big pool of money that went to the nonprofit builders so they could use that money to get other grants and things to be able to build projects and put low-income families in housing. What ended up happening, though, was it was costing, this is about the time that, 2x4s were going through the roof and all the costs were going up, insurance was going up, everything was going up. And so it was hurting the production of houses. And so we actually sunsetted this and got rid of it. This was Lynn, Debbie, and I.
You pushed it.
Yeah.
That was one of your, I remember you fighting for this.
Right.
You were very aggressive.
Yeah.
And you did get 3 votes.
We did. And so we got rid of this kind of new housing tax, as I called it. What we have in its place is an incentive program. So now builders can come in and they can voluntarily put some money into a fund, and they get some things from the county in their preparation for building more housing. So they can get credits and things like that help speed up the ability to build a housing.
And I think I saw that occur in the there was a project in Templeton. It's out there. I think it's 21 homes, and they want to build a gated community for. It was partly started because the Templeton Hospital wants to have somewhere close to the hospital, where doctors and people working at the hospital and administrators. So it's going to be a gated, expensive community to bring more high level staff into Templeton Hospital. But then Jimmy and Bruce argued that it should be a complete. Run by an, they wanted it to be a completely low income project, probably headed up by a nonprofit. And he said no and did give money. When Jimmy was arguing we need low income, he agreed to give money.
He did, and it's incentivized the builder there. And this is on Main Street. So this is on Main Street, the project you're talking about, next to the Sheriff's Public Safety Center, which just opened the communications center, the public safety communications center. And it was directed at, we have a great hospital there in Templeton, and they needed place for, to entice, doctors and nurses and people to come to the community and live in the community. So I think it's going to be a great project. But anyway, this allows the county to still support some of the nonprofit builders, maybe not at the same level, but at a level, because I was always told that the inclusionary housing fee was going to bring in $4 billion a year. And the last time I checked it, every year it brought in about $500,000 a year. So we were taxing and raising the prices of middle-class family housing, just to be able to do these other things. Now, a lot of times, some of these projects, they don't have to do this if they build, like the project in Napomo. They are building different levels of housing. So they're going to have some low-income housing. They're going to have some workforce housing. They're going to have all kinds of different housing. And that actually then helps them be able to move that project faster.
And one of the things you need to know that has come up at these meetings, over and over again, very often, developers lose money on the very low-income housing. They actually lose money. And when Jimmy and Bruce, especially Jimmy, is arguing, I want this to be all super low-income housing, nobody is going to lose millions of dollars to build something that they're not going to make any money on. They're doing it to make a profit. And you can't force them to lose money on a project. But in all these cases, Jimmy and Bruce, always they voted no on both of them, correct?
That's correct. And the bigger thing, though, to me, and this is the question I've asked, and I just was with the folks at People's Self-Help Housing, but to build one unit in San Luis Obispo County of low-income housing is around $950,000. Now, if you go to Clark County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas, it's in southern Nevada, You can usually build, a nonprofit builder can build a unit about $250,000 to $300,000 for low-income housing. So, once again, the state laws, the state rules on housing, what they've done is they've actually hurt the ability to be able to build affordable housing affordably. And that's, and it's statewide. I mean, you talk to any other county, and they're charging some, it costs them about, $800,000 to $900,000 to $1 million to build one unit of affordable housing. And these are affordable housing units. They're supposed to be affordable, but they're unaffordable for, municipalities and counties to be able to build.
And one of the things that that is important to note here also, there is allegations that this is fraudulent. So they get government grants. So, for example, you get a government grant, it pays you $14 million, and then suddenly you're redoing it a hotel room, and it's costing you $500,000 to remodel a hotel room. The Bill of Saley, he is now called the leader. You know that, right?
I do.
The leader of the federal prosecutors in L.A., he announced right after he took over. So this wasn't under his watch that started. This started under the Biden administration. They realized there's no reason. When you can buy, when they're putting like a 300-square-foot prefab house on a property to be low income, and it's going to be up $1,000 a foot, and all these people with the nonprofits are getting money, and it's mostly grant money. They looked into it, and they found $300 million in fraud in the seven counties around us. They are the seven, not 700, seven counties around us. They've already arrested two people, both in the L.A. area, only $29 million. They say a lot more is coming, and there was a lot of, some of this had to do with a group called Home Key. Home Key was very involved in several of the nonprofit, I think Echo and a couple others. That doesn't mean it was done fraudulently, but a lot of the fraud went through, had to do with the Home Key. But they are going after these people, and contractors were overpaid. Nonprofit staff was overpaid. People ended up pocketing, tens of millions of dollars while these properties went way up in price.
Well, I think we want to be able to be supportive. The Board of Supervisors wants to support all kinds of different housing. But the key here is that means we need to vote yes on all kinds of different housing. And I can't tell you the last project I voted no on when it comes to being able to build homes. I support the building of homes in San Luis Obispo County. Now, we have lost population in our county over the last few years. There's actually, right now, I think, it was brought up at the Economic Forum the other day, we've lost a number of people from a population center, and so we're going to have less money coming in, less tax revenue.
What population center?
I think it's most of it is kind of coming out of southern San Luis Obispo County. A lot of it has to do, I think, personally, with the fact that you can't get into a home if you're a young family. So you seriously consider moving outside of the area, breaking the family up. A lot of these young families, they have other family members here in the community and they have to leave. And I saw this actually in Hawaii when I worked in Hawaii a long time ago, is that, there weren't jobs, there weren't houses. And so young families were having to move. Basically, they moved to Nevada, to Clark County. And so it's actually the second largest population of expats from Hawaii that live in Clark County, but they were able to get into a house. They found a job. They were able to support their family. The kids started going to the local schools. They started doing activities. They became part of the community. And we have great programs in this county. Sports programs for kids. Our schools are good. I think that across the board we're doing.
John's sitting here with Templeton Green on in honor of Templeton High School's championship.
Exactly right. Go Eagles! Tomorrow, Friday night. I hope you're all there.
And I know where that comment was coming from.
Exactly. But the point is that and these families are forced to leave because everything is affordability. And that is the number one issue right now. To me, that is the number one issue. We have to figure out how to make housing more affordable for working families. There are some programs, and one of the key programs, I think, that's coming out of Napomo is there's going to be down payment assistance for families that sign up for some of those homes. And that would be very helpful. And that's all done by the developer down there. And they're going to be able to say, we'll help you with your down payment so you can get into the home. And that you can make it a home. You can make a house a home.
But remember, the developer was stopped developing, had to pay off the nonprofit a couple $1 million, and then they voted to let him move forward.
Well, those were, and they were the environmental nonprofits that did the lawsuit, yes.
We're going to come back after a word from our sponsors.
Before we realize it, we will begin celebrating another new year. At Davis Body Shop, we have taken part in over 50 New Year celebrations, and it started back in 1962. Over these years, our New Year's resolutions have remained the same, giving you impeccable quality workmanship, always giving you a written guarantee, giving you the very best value, and making sure that your experience is as pleasant as possible. And that includes assisting you in getting your insurance paperwork filed properly. Remember, at Davis Body Shop, you get a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Davis Body Shop has two locations, one on El Camino Real, downtown Atascadero, and the other on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet. From the Davis Body Shop family to yours, best wishes for a happy holiday season.
I recently had the best visit with Peter Lussier at Hearing Aid Specialists. He fixed my hearing aid, gave me an efficient hearing test, and adjusted my hearing aids using computer software. I've had my hearing aids for several years. I never felt they were working properly until Peter fixed the issues. The clarity and volume are wonderful now.
If you have hearing aids or need a hearing aid evaluation, call Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast, 805-460-7385. 805-460-7385.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. I'm going to give a quick shout out. Simon and Schuster called Dan Blackburn a couple months ago and said, you wrote a bestseller 25 years ago. It's time we brought about a serial killer he personally knew. And they said, we'd like to bring it back on the market and push it again. They signed today. Dan now has, it was a bestseller at the time. They want to try to make it a bestseller again. And they're putting, Simon and Schuster is now going to be the publisher.
So I just, quick question, this serial killer doesn't live anywhere in this county.
I think she's dead. It was a female silly.
Oh, that's rare.
She was the Daisy Fuentes. She would murder, I think it was Fuentes. She would murder, she would rent out rooms to people on Social Security, get them to let her get the Social Security and dole it out to them, and then bury them in the backyard.
Oh, my word.
And Dan was the Orange County Bureau Chief in Sacramento. Hmm. And across from the state building, there was a bar restaurant where he went every day. And she would sit with Dan and have lunch with him and a drink. And Dan got to know her pretty well. She wouldn't talk to anybody. She told Dan all kinds of stuff. So even before the trial was ended, Dan had a book out.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
That's a great story.
It is a great book. It's very, yeah. It's.
Does
that
have a title of the book?
I will give it next week.
Okay. Very cool.
I can't remember the title. He just called me before I left, and he was just...
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
I'm going to put a story up on Cal Coast News because I told him, I said, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But
It
is a big deal to me. And we're going to get back to the low-class housing. The one thing that I noticed, though, is where Bruce and Jimmy say they want it, they vote down most of it.
I don't know of any... projects that they've traditionally supported, now that the inclusionary housing fee's gone, I don't know of any projects that they've supported. A lot of these projects are coming from private builders, and these are good projects. They should be looked at. They should be given their day in court to be able to discuss it. And we had one, so we had another project come in from outside of Pismo Beach.
That's the Del Mar Ranch project.
It is, the Del Mar
Ranch project. That's 100 units. 30 of them are for seniors, and they're going to be duplexes. They're going to be affordable duplexes. Or low income, I think, even.
Some are, yes.
And there's a shortage of low income for seniors in this county.
Yes, there is.
And that was part of the idea. You know, 70 of them will be on acre lots. It's a very large property. It's going to be big properties. But yes, it's 30
so it
affordable.
It came to the board last Tuesday, and we had a discussion about it. And it wasn't a discussion on the project, because it hasn't even gone through the Planning Commission yet. It was just whether we would accept the application.
Yes.
You know, so it's still going to have its day in court. It's still going to go before the Planning Commission. People could come and tell us what they think about it. They hate it. There's still lots of involvement. We haven't even sent out a postcard on this yet to let the neighbors know that it's happening.
And two neighbors showed up. Why didn't you send us a postcard? They said, we don't even know. We haven't got an application yet.
I don't even know what it looks like. But trying to stop a project even before it's gone to it goes to the Planning Commission or we're able to get community involvement, I support moving it forward. Let's hear from what this project is about, because if it's everything that I've read, that it's going to be a good project with housing for seniors on fixed incomes. It's going to be 100 units. It's a big enough piece of property. It's got, it'll have some roads in it. You know, the infrastructure is going to be there. You know, water is available. It's going to be all kinds of different things. But we don't know that yet until we actually see the application.
And one of the interesting things here, so Pismo Beach, you go back about 15 years, Pismo Beach was trying to get some of the neighboring properties to put themselves under their sphere of influence. They allowed them to get easements in. They said, we'll support your projects when they get in. They put multiple properties under the sphere of influence of the city of Pismo Beach. And then they said, they've got a no-growth council right now that said, we don't want projects, and we're going to actually take away your easements. One of the people involved in this project has two lawsuits against the city of Pismo, because they had an easement under the property and they took it away because according to the lawsuits, and I'll do a story on it in the next week or so, you can't just take somebody's access to their property away because you decided
you didn't like it.
Yeah,
you
want, and it's not even the project they don't like. They don't want anything there.
Yeah.
So this property was owned by a guy that did a number of things wrong. He graded, he irritated the neighbors. He ended up selling to a number of different developers that are involved in this project. And they're all people that have had long-term successful projects in the area. They live in the Pismo Beach area, and they want that area. They're not an out-of-town developer that doesn't care.
They have had long-term relationships with the community.
Yes.
Right? So they're going to make a good project. They're not going to do something that everybody's going to hate them for, because they live there.
The other thing is, so you have the city manager, Jorge Garcia, from Pismo Beach, just got hit 2 weeks ago with two lawsuits from people involved in this. He actually showed up at the Board of Supervisors and said, they asked him, can we use your water? He said, no. So they have other sources of water. They have some state water. They have another source.
They do.
They have multiple sources of water. Mm-hmm. And they said, he wanted it stopped and brought back. And if anybody goes to city or supervisor meetings, you only have to go regularly for about 3 months. And every time that Bruce Gibson is losing, he plays the same. He has the same thing that he does. He asked for a delay. Well, can we get a delay?
It used to be a study, right? So I used to love it. I don't think we've studied this. And now, you may have spent $100 million on studies, but we need some more studies. And it does. It takes another 18 months to get another study that then sits in a notebook and gathers dust on somebody's bookshelf.
But that's what he does.
Yes.
Every single time.
Yes.
We'll get back and talk about it. But in the end, Jimmy, you need to hear how this went down. It was actually cantankerous. It was a kind of a nasty back and forth, and you won. But we'll be back after our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.